Hey friends, it's Larry here at Xbox Live's Major Nelson. This is show number 265, recording Sunday, January 27th, 2008. I'm here with E.
It's hamburger time.
And it's this is actually the second show we're recording right now. For those of you that have been following me on my Twitter for the past few days, know that I've been experimenting trying to produce an enhanced podcast using Apple products, a GarageBand, as well as Soundtrack Pro 2, which is the upper end super pro material editor,
because that's just how you roll.
Yeah,
so high end like that.
The problem is that E and I we're not recording this at a normal time. There's just a lot wrong about what we're doing. First of all, this is not a normal show. We're not doing any of the standard features of the show because we're just not.
But it could be a more normal show than the take we just did that somehow vanished.
Yeah, so we just did that. We recorded the whole beginning of the show and I pressed record and we only had the last 5 seconds, didn't we? Don't know what happened. The whole show's just gone. So hopefully, if you're hearing this, then I have successfully mastered the basics of GarageBand. And I'm sure everyone out there right now is throwing up their hands going, Major, GarageBand is stupid easy. Why can't you figure it out? Sorry, I don't know why. I'm sure you're right, and I'm just a moron.
Is there, a Rock Band equivalent that we could use instead?
I'm even worse at Rock Band.
We could... Yeah, but I'm not bad. We could record this on the console.
Yeah.
That'd make things easier.
So this is podcasting excellence at work right here.
Woohoo!
So we've got hopefully we'll get the show. So the one thing that is normal about the show is I do have an interview. I've got Derek and Gino from Burnout Paradise join me. They're going to be talking about Burnout Paradise, which released this week, which E hasn't had a chance to play because I don't think you play games anymore. You're too busy in meetings.
I have played some games this week, mostly Rock Band, but Burnout Paradise, actually, I have to find my copy.
Okay.
I want to play it. I'm a huge Burnout fan from way, way back.
Right.
I love Crash Mode with a passion, to the point that I perfected Crash Mode and Burnout Revenge. I go check my gamer card. It's on there. I love that. I want to play the new one. I want to get a feel for how it is because they've changed it so much with the kind of the whole persistent world, online, offline merger thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, until I find my copy, I can't play.
Yeah, I played it, got a couple of achievements. One of the challenges I'm having is that are you coughing over there?
A little bit. I was attempting to cough off mic.
Yeah, we need to get you a cough switch. One of the things I was having trouble with in Burnout Paradise is you've seen it. Have you at least played the demo?
I've played the demo.
Okay. You've got the compass at the top, and you've got on the bottom, you've got your map. I just tend to blow right by the turns. Even though it's like beeping at me,
I did that sometimes in the old ones, which is why I liked Crash Mode better than some of the other race modes.
Right.
Because until I had semi-memorized the course, I'd get in a zone and I'd just completely miss, an exit or whatever, and that's it, race over.
All right, I'm gonna go ahead and at the risk of moving the show along too quickly, I'm gonna go ahead and roll that interview right now, and then afterwards we're gonna come back and since we're talking about it, I might as well play the interview right now, right at the top of the show.
Works for me.
Let's get this under the way right away. Here we go. Burnout Paradise in stores this week from EA. It's it's the next installment in the Burnout series. On the line with me, Derek Anderson, the product manager for Burnout, and Gino Talens, publicist. Hey guys.
How's it going?
How you doing?
I'm doing great. So people have been waiting for this title for quite some time, and it's in stores this week. Why don't you guys back up a little bit and tell us what platforms it's on and a little bit of the high-level introduction for Burnout Paradise.
Yeah, so we actually were in stores as of yesterday, which was Tuesday, I believe.
Yep.
So... No, that was 2 days ago. Man, the time is flying by.
It's been a heck of a week.
Yeah, exactly. So we've been in stores for a couple of days. We're shipping on the PS3 and the Xbox 360. And, this is the first really, truly next-gen game that the Criterion guys have put together. We did have Burnout Revenge, which was, really a port from Burnout Revenge on the Xbox. Put onto the Xbox 360, but with Burnout Paradise, this has been completely built on the next gen hardware. So we're pretty excited about it.
Now, what are some of the differences? I mean, the Burnout franchises, you know, it's have many installments, and a lot of people are familiar with it. How does this differ from some of the previous installments?
Well, I think one of the major differences that people are going to see right off the bat is that Burnout has gone to the open world format. And, you know, I think some people probably, you know, hearing that will say, oh, you know, I love the track-based, you know, gameplay from the previous Burnouts and some of the other things. But I think that, you know, what Criterion has done is they have created an open world that is perfect for Burnout fans. So it's not designed after any particular city. It's got elements that will look familiar to you, you know, from, you know, like a downtown Tokyo or like, you know, a Newport Beach. But it really is designed for Burnout fans. So there are, you know, huge jumps off cliffs. There are, you know, ramps in the middle of the road. There's parking garages that you can, you know, launch yourself off of. So things that you'd never find in a real world, but in a Burnout world, it'd be a must-have.
There's a lot of stuff that in a Burnout world that makes sense that probably wouldn't make sense in the real world, and that's probably part of a lot of the fun of the franchise.
Yeah, I think so, and I think, you know, people have come to see Burnout as a type of game that you can pick it up immediately, and even if you're only able to play for a couple of minutes, something that you can find something in every corner. I think, you know, the development team has done a great job at really extending the fun and the gameplay on any street. So anywhere you go, you're going to find those spots that will those Burnout spots. It's not just, you know, certain parts of the world. It really is the entire world.
Now I was reading some stats on the game right before we started here, and my understanding there's 250 miles of open road that you can throughout the entire city. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Because that's pretty impressive. And one thing that I noticed, I was playing it over the, you know, last week when it released, and I noticed it's the entire world is open. It's not like, you know, some of these other driving games where you have to unlock a certain area. I was just driving around like crazy.
Yeah, totally. The team at Criterion, they just wanted to make sure that the whole world was, like you said, open from the start, so that, you know, the whole thing about the game is we just want to give you the freedom, where it's kind of like your Burnout your way, where, you know, you could just race around the city and explore, because there's, like Derek mentioned, there's tons of jumps, and the world's just built for Burnout driving, where you can just hit the streets, go insanely fast, you know, drive aggressively, you know, and just enjoy yourself, pick up and play. But if you want to get in the race modes, you know, progress through the game to unlock all those cars, you can do that at your own leisure. We just totally want, you know, people to just have fun right from the get-go.
Now, I noticed on the Xbox 360 version, I have not done this yet, but it actually works with the wireless racing wheel.
Indeed it does. Bust it out.
So it's a different experience for me, because I was playing it in someone else's office, because normally, you know, Burnout, you've got a little joystick and you're holding your controller. But for the first time, you're able to, at least that I'm aware of, that I played with the with a wheel, which adds an entirely new dimension to the Burnout series.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, it is an exclusive feature for the Xbox 360 gamers. I mean, it's something that's going to change the experience a little bit. I think that if you don't have a wheel, this is a great opportunity to try it out. I think it's the wheel is, at least in my opinion, it's better used for some games versus other racing games. I think this is one of those that is a good fit, for that different experience.
Tell me a little bit about the achievements. I unlocked a couple, but I want to ask you, you know, what are some of the cool achievements that people are going to discover as they go through the game?
So a couple of the achievements. There's an achievement for takedowns. You've got a takedown, I think it's about 500 drivers online. So you got to get online. You got to play. There's also some achievements that, one thing about Burnout Paradise is there is, you know, as Gino mentioned, there's so many different things you can do, and we really want players to just experience the game. We want you to plug in the live vision camera. We want you to take mug shots. Once you get a certain amount of mug shots, you're going to get achievements for that. So there's also things like the new crash mode, which has been reinvented, and it's called Showtime. There's that where you're going to get achievements for, you know, very, very high Showtime scores. And we also have the Millionaires Club, which is the all-new stunt mode where you're doing jumps and you're doing barrel rolls and you're doing 360s. You basically get a point total for how dangerous you're driving. And, after you've accomplished a certain level in the game, you eventually will earn 1,000,000 points. You unlock the achievement where you're now included in the Millionaires Club, which is pretty cool as well.
Can you back up a little bit and explain Showtime to the listeners? Because a lot of people may not be familiar with that.
Yeah, so, so when we put the game together, we really wanted to deliver a completely new experience on this new set of hardware. And in doing that, crash mode, as well as other things, like the whole thought process of how to play the Burnout game on the track, completely reinvented the open world. Same with crash mode. Instead of these, you know, intersections that we set up for you and we determine, you know, what is going to be fun and what is not, we leave it completely up to the players. So you can actually go into Showtime at any point, any time in the game. If you're in the middle of a race and you're in eighth place, you're getting your butt kicked, you hit the bumper buttons and you immediately throw your car into Showtime. It starts bouncing end over end, and you are rolling your way down the street, bouncing off cars, bouncing off buses, hitting signs, hitting street lights. And it's really, the best way to describe it is probably like Katamari meets Madden or something like that, where you're trying to go as far as you possibly can, and at the same time, you're trying to cause as much destruction as possible.
There's getting back to what I was saying earlier about some of the stats of the city, how it's just so enormous. You know, there's 250 open roads. What's the best way for somebody, you know, when they get the disc, if they listen to this interview, or maybe they just got the disc and they drop it in, what should be their strategy? I mean, I know it's open world, but if you can kind of point me in the right direction.
Well, the great thing about, you know, Burnout Paradise is that everyone's experience is going to be different because, you know, like we said, it's kind of like you make it your way. But, you know, the best strategy is to just, you know, when you pop in the game, to explore the world because there's tons of shortcuts. And once you familiarize yourselves with the streets, when you get in the races, it'll be, like, easier for you to find, you know, from start to finish, to find that fastest way, because the computer AI, they're not always going to know, you know, how to get there the fastest. If you follow them, oftentimes, you know, you might lose because if you're crashing or whatnot. So the best way to do it, I would say, is you start off in downtown, you make your way out into the mountains, because the mountains are, you know, a beautiful sight. You know, the drifting you could do through there is incredible, and like Derek mentioned earlier, you could jump off these huge cliffs, do barrel rolls. So once you familiarize yourself with the city, from there, you know, I prefer to start doing the races and that, because they get so much easier, and you could just fly through them and upgrade yourself to, you know, your Burnout Elite license.
Yeah, and I think just adding on that, I think too, you know, you start out, you know, like in most games, with piece of junk car. And as you do beat races, you can pull up to any stoplight in the game and you can start a race. So, you know, you probably want to do a couple of the races, which are going to help you progress through to where you can unlock cars. And the unlocking of the cars is really unique in this game. Instead of just giving the cars to you, once you upgrade your Burnout driver's license, which is, you know, really what the progression mechanism throughout the game, the cars will just start driving around in Paradise City, and you'll notice them. They're not the normal street traffic cars. They're, you know, real high end, beautiful cars, and they'll just kind of drive right past you, and you have to catch up to them, and you have to take them out in order to be able to drive those cars. So once you take the car out, you can then go pick the car up in your junkyard, and you own that car, and you can use it, you know, from that point on. So. Gino would drive around and get a good experience of the world and check it out, and I would probably do a couple of the races to get a better car. So, you know, you are going to have a different experience depending on how you want to play.
So once I get to know the city, tell me about some of the online modes and what those bring to the game this time around.
So a couple of the really cool online features that we have. First of all, we have, as soon as you get into the online world, you're in Paradise City. You can play with up to 80 of your friends. And the first thing that we have that's really unique and different is these cooperative challenges. Depending on how many players you have online, whether it's 2, 3, 4, all the way up to 8, you've got a set of unique challenges that you and your friends can do. So some of them are very, very easy. Some of them are as simple as, you know, drifting a couple hundred yards. Some of them become much more difficult. They may be, you know, crash in the air or barrel roll through, you know, a certain object in the world that you need to do. So it would be you and your friends, you would all, as many players as you have online, you need to do this. So we have about 350 of these online cooperative challenges. So there's a ton of gameplay just in the cooperative part of the game. And then on top of that, you've also got you know, the race side where you can compete and be competitive, just like Burnout fans are going to be used to battling online. A couple of changes with the open world: you can start the race wherever you want. You can select checkpoints, and you can select the finish point as well. So, you know, you're going to be, rather than in the past where you've had these set tracks that people get very familiar with, I can set the starting and end points wherever I want, and you may never have experienced a race in that way before.
And I think it's important to note out that you guys have a demo up on Xbox Live. It's free download. You had that up a few weeks ago, and now you've got the full game version. Are there any differences between the – sometimes I know that some games have differences between the demo and the full version.
There really is the major difference is, as you know, you were driving around the demo, you would see these events, like, you know, a road race, and you're like, you know, dang, I want to try that. But now, so since the full game's out, you could definitely do all that from the get-go. Because like we said, all the events, everything, the whole world's open from the start. So you have that freedom and ability to do that now in the final version. But everything else is the same. You know, there's no parts of the world in the demo that are different from in the final retail version. And we just wanted to give players a taste of that, you know, a little freedom that you have in the game. Because in just that little piece of the world we gave you, you might have noticed that there was like 15 jumps. But in the overall game, there's like, you know, over 50 that you could find. And so those shortcuts you could find, there's a limited amount of that given piece of the world that we gave you, but now that the world's open from the whole get-go, there's over like 400 of those smashable shortcuts that you could find in the game. So now we just kind of like, we gave you a little taste, and now that you have the full version, you could go explore and find, you know, all these secret, you know, jumps. Like, I'm playing through the game, and I've been playing it for a while, and I'm still finding these hidden areas with these, you know, huge jumps and these billboards to smash through that, you know, I've yet to discover.
That's great. All right, well, cool. Listen, guys, I appreciate it. Before I let you go, I like to ask my guests what their gamer tags are so that my listeners can go in and look for you guys online. Why don't you go ahead and give me your gamer tags? Derek?
Yeah, mine's You Ain't Down. U-A-I-N-T-D-O-W-N.
Can you spell it? Go ahead, Gino.
Okay, I am Mad Talens, M-A-D-T-A-L-E-N-Z.
Right on. All right, guys, we'll look for you online. I appreciate it. Burnout Paradise in stores now on many platforms. It's got some cool features on the Xbox 360, including support for the wireless wheel. I appreciate you guys coming on the show, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you to Derek and Gino for joining me. They gave their gamer tags out there, You Ain't Down and Mad Talons. So thank you for giving those out.
And now I'm sure they will have people looking for them constantly.
Yeah, and playing.
It's always fun to play with the guys who made the game.
Yeah, it really is, and that's what I like when I talk to these people. And you know, 90% of the people I interview, they're like, yeah, I'll get my gamer tag out, so it's kind of cool that way.
Now, what would have been amusing is kind of like how in Halo 3, when you play the Bungie guys, they've got the flaming head.
Right.
What if there was, you know, the developers had a flaming car or something? You could do some cool stuff with that.
Or
give them flaming exhaust or...
Invisible car. Or active camo car.
Active camo car?
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. So.
Chameleon car?
So the Undertow is free this week.
Undertow, depending on when you're listening to this, it might still be free for a couple of hours.
Or you missed it, I'm sorry.
It's a fun game. So I picked it up a while back. It's hard to describe. When you see it, it's like, oh, okay, I get it. But it's an aquatic shooter.
Right.
I guess is the easiest way to describe it. So
And I, for those of you in the United States, I shot a special Inside Xbox video promoting that it was free, and I was able to scuba dive.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Because so, I figured it's the only chance, because I'm a scuba diver, you know, and you are as well, but you haven't been in about 12 years.
I'm a lapsed scuba diver.
So I went to the local health club, and they let me borrow their pool for, we had to go in there at midnight because it was, you know, they're like, yeah, you can come in, but you have to be after we're closed. I'm like, oh boy. So went in, and we shot this thing. It was actually a lot of fun because we were shooting it, and they gave us the lifeguard, and the lifeguard was standing there with his, like, inflatable buoy thing. And every time I, like, got ready to go in the water, he would, like, spring to attention. And get ready to save me.
The big orange flotation device,
right.
Is like in Baywatch.
Right, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Of course, they gave me a dude and not a chick. So
yeah, figures.
That's the way it goes. Thank you to the Pro Club for letting us shoot in there. As I said at the top of the show, this is not a normal show for a lot of reasons. One of them is we're trying some new technology to record it here. Everyone uses. I record these in Vegas, which is a great audio editing app. And I wanted to try something different. I'm playing around with the microphones. Over the past week, we played around with the microphones. Now I'm moving on to the different interface equipment. I'm using an M-Box 2, which is a pretty high...
M-Box.
Okay. And it's a pretty...
I couldn't let that go. That's too easy a joke.
And there's some people that don't understand the joke.
And they probably are better off.
So I'm using a different equipment. I've also hooked it up to my Mac. I have a Mac in my office, and I have one at home. So I'm going to try to produce it in GarageBand. And if you've been following my Twitter, you'll see that I've been completely challenged with producing the show in GarageBand or even in Apple's higher-end software called Soundtrack Pro 2 because it's missing some what I consider basic features. One of them is locking the tracks together. So here's a little behind-the-scenes secret. When I record this show, I record my track onto one track and E's track onto another so that I can kind of... I put special processing on your mic. Like, you don't care because you just come in and sit down, but I really think about the processing I put on you.
So can you give me, like, the Barry White processing?
That's reserved for me, Oh. Yeah. But, I put special processing, so I isolate the tracks. And in Soundtrack Pro 2, I could not figure out how to do that.
So
lock the tracks.
If you know how to lock the tracks together, major@xbox.com.
Yeah, in Soundtrack Pro. So basically, not tracks together. I have to, with the audio clips that are laid down on the tracks, I want to lock them together because E and I got to make sure they stay together. That's the most important thing. So I've been playing around with that, and I'm trying to do something, doing a higher resolution. In fact, this show I may kick out as an MP4.
Ooh.
Because 4 is better than 3, right?
Right. It's one more.
It's one more.
Pretty soon we'll be on MP11.
So I'm going to try to kick this out as an MP4, and if it works, then God bless it. It's going to work, and it'll be higher quality. So that's why this show's a little different, because I need to kind of get back to the basics. Next week, we may be back to Vegas and the highly produced show. Some of my shows get up to, like, 12 or 14 tracks.
What?
Yeah, they do.
Seriously?
Yeah, they get really, really high because...
So wait, there's your one track.
Yep.
I'm one track.
Yep.
There's a sound effect.
How
do you get to 12?
Well, I have this. I have the bed. I have the clip in and out. Sometimes, like when we did the 3-hour show.
The bed.
Well, the bed is the team for, like, the open. It's what's called the open. The show open. That's called the bed because it's underneath us.
Okay.
A little few broadcasting terms.
This is why I don't help with.
Right. This is why you come in. You sit down. You sit in front of the mic, and I do the rest. So, I apologize. This is probably way more information than you want to know about my podcast. I actually have a page up on my blog at majornelson.com that explains some of the equipment that I use. I have not updated it because I'm still experimenting with this equipment. But I do have a page up there that shows some of the microphones that I use. I do need to put a link off to your microphone.
The mic and the boom of death.
Yeah,
I almost stabbed you with it earlier.
I'm on the Shure SM7B, which is a pretty heavy-duty boy.
Okay.
Not that you carry.
No.
You want to talk about gadgets? Since we're going to cut out all the rest of the show, we're not going to do the name of the game. You're off the hook for Xbox 101 this week.
Oh, awesome! Because I don't have one.
All right, so what do we got for gaming news, E?
Pretty busy week, actually. Microsoft announced earnings.
Yes.
So we got to see how our division, E&D, Entertainment and Devices, is doing.
Right.
So we've actually had two profitable quarters in a row, which has not happened in E&D for a long time. Thanks to us.
And when you say us, you mean?
I mean Xbox, essentially. Okay. Yeah. So the numbers were actually pretty interesting.
You want to give some of the high-level numbers out?
So for the previous 6 months, Xbox and PC gaming revenue up 35%.
Cool.
Trying to read my own writing with the markers here. In the first half, 6.1 million Xbox 360s sold and 4.82 million copies of Halo 3.
That's a lot of stuff.
And those console and Halo 3 numbers are just, that's just past 6 months. That's
right.
Not life to date. So, but the, hey, we said we were going to be profitable this year. We've been profitable 6 months in a row. It's a good start.
Yeah, that's the way to start off. So I'm sure, you know, Joystick and Kotaku and the rest of them, everyone's covered this. With they've covered it very well. So if you have any questions, go up and take a look at those numbers.
Absolutely.
What else you got?
Well, this is probably the biggie. We had a new number one game on Xbox Live last week.
Yeah, I posted that, and it got like a lot of, I think, more digs than anything else.
Every time you Twitter anything, you get digs.
I don't know.
Freaking hilarious.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing. I Twittered one thing. We talked about it last week, and it got picked up by Dig, or somebody dug it, and I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah, and it was something random, like I'm walking the dog.
Yeah, I'm afraid to go to the bathroom now because it's going to get Dig. But this show, let's talk about the top 10 list. I post those Monday or Tuesday, and it's for the previous week. I used to post them on Fridays, but now it's becoming a little easier for me to get a full data. It's just the way the things work, and everything was changed around. I pull them on Monday or Tuesday and post them for the previous week.
And you know, Halo 3 had a big run, but Call of Duty tripped them up and took over the number one spot.
Yeah.
And you know, hey, more power to both of them. They're both phenomenal games. And it's going to be interesting to see. You know, do they go back and forth? Does Call of Duty stay on top for a while? Who knows what's going to happen? But hard to complain that the two top titles on Xbox Live are Halo 3 and Call of Duty 4.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing.
Let me see. I'm just going to go over here and take a look and see what we got for digs, because it was like, I thought it was up to a couple thousand digs.
Because it was actually pretty big news. I called the guys over at Bungie. I let 402 know down at Infinity War that they were number ones. Have you and I still have not played COD. You haven't even finished the game, have you? Is it becoming the BioShock now?
No, it's not going to become the BioShock. But I have four or five levels left on Veteran. I'm only playing on Veteran. I didn't start on an easy level.
Right.
I've got four or five levels left. I've got to play to finish it through. As soon as I'm done with the single player, then I will go play multiplayer.
Okay.
But I want to get the single player out of the way. And like I said, lately I've been playing Rock Band. Some of that is just lately what free time I've had.
Right.
I haven't been, you know, at home by myself playing games. It's been hanging out with friends. So what usually happens when me and my friends get together, whether it's at my house or one of their houses, is we wind up playing Rock Band.
Right. So, by the way, it was 2,100 digs that COD4 was number one.
That's a fair amount.
That's a lot of digs.
Yeah.
Whew. And the server didn't go down. My majornelson.com server didn't go down, which is good news.
That's good.
Yeah. So.
I know Lith and other people have been doing a lot of work on, you know, making sure that it does continue to operate.
Yeah. I mean, we actually have a post someplace that I should pull up that, let me see if I can pull it up right now. We were pulling some stats. I was going to post it, but, you know, the stats weren't, it actually kind of, it mistakenly posted once because we were playing. We were playing around with it, and let me see if I can find it. Oh, here it is. Just to give a rough idea, I had 999 blog posts in 2007 alone.
999.
Missed 1,000 by one.
You should have just made one. I would have posted something for you if I'd known that.
We had 21,533,772 page views in 2000 alone.
Wow.
And we are up to 71,202 comments on blog posts. And
that's just since the new blog, right? That doesn't count the old one.
Correct. And our largest traffic volume day was December 4th, which was the day the Xbox 360 fall update was released. Yeah, that was pretty big.
Because there were all the pages of new features, new video streaming support, all that kind of stuff.
Yep. We have I have 12,000 total registered users on majornelson.com. And 2007, this is interesting, saw visitors from 192 different countries, including Chile, Romania, Kazakhstan. Is that your friend in Kazakhstan?
It could very well be.
And the majority of countries in Africa, with our top visitors being from United States, United Kingdom, and Canada, in that order.
So 192 countries?
Correct.
How many countries? There's only like low 200 numbers of countries actually on Earth, right?
Yeah, so we've got a little bit of work to do.
We need to identify the countries that are missing and get them on board.
The least number of visitors came from Guyana. Guyana, or yes, down in Africa.
Okay.
So I think that's in Africa, yeah. And then in 2007, I produced 55 audio podcasts, of which you were in probably 50 of them. So
that's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. But it's there's so it's just it's been a crazy the velocity. Can I use that word? Remember, I used it once, and you got angry at me.
That's fine.
The velocity of traffic that goes through the majornelson.com servers, and you know, Lithion.
By the way, you realize the traffic, it's all at one velocity. That'd be the speed of light through, you know, your cable. But
yes,
anyways, moving on.
Speaking of cable, did I tell you how the down the street they're installing fiber, but they haven't made it to my house yet?
Are you gonna get files?
I don't think so. I think they're. I'm actually gonna go down there and walk the dog and go, hey dudes, how about a block this way, please? Anything?
Yeah, I have no hope of that where I live.
All right. Well, we just totally took a sidetrack here to talk about the server numbers. What do you have?
Let's
you have anything
see,
else?
Other stuff that happened. We talked. The Rock Band guys announced that the standalone instruments are going to be coming out this spring. So,
right.
So two pieces of big news there.
Right.
Probably the biggest one is the wireless guitar. They put a date and a price on that.
Right on.
So the wireless, it's a Fender Stratocaster, right?
Right.
The wireless Fender is going to be available on April 1st for $59.
Yes.
Hopefully that's not an April Fool's joke.
Mm-hmm.
They also announced pricing on standalone drum sets. They did not say anything about the drums being wireless, so I don't know if the drums are still wired or if that was a mistake or what, but drums by themselves available February 12th for $79.
Good.
I think I'm going to have to pick up a wireless Fender.
I think you're going to have to as well.
Yeah. I right now I've got two GH2 guitars, both wired.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the Rock Band guitar wired. Having a wireless guitar would be nice, and I like the Rock Band guitar a lot.
Okay.
So I think I'm going to get one of those babies for myself.
I'll have to come over and try it out because that's not my scene.
Now, what'll be interesting is you can buy Rock Band standalone.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if for people who aren't into the big party scene, if people will wind up buying like Rock Band and the wireless guitar just for the guitar portion of the game and kind of ignoring the rest of the game.
That's a good point.
I don't know.
That's a good point. All right, so that was out this week. Also, this past week, Game Trailers TV with Jeff Keighley premiered, which is our good friend, who's a good friend of the show, is Jeff Keighley. And his own show, it took the Spike TV show, and it's now Game Trailers TV with Jeff Keighley. Gets his name in the title.
He's big stuff.
Yeah, he's a big star. I mean, he doesn't even have time to come on the Major Nelson show, Graham, anymore. Because he's just, I had him on Inside Xbox, and you know, I got to go through his people now. He changed his number.
Ooh.
So he's that's actually available on the video, the Xbox Live Marketplace for download. It's in HD, so you can see Jeff Keighley in HD. Because you don't want to see me in HD.
No, not really.
No.
Or me.
No.
I did see the interview you did with him at CES. I finally watched that.
We had that on Inside Xbox.
Yeah, where he talked about what was going to be Game Trailers TV. And the one point he made that I thought was great is that, look, you're buying all these games in high def, and then on TV you're watching previews and things. It's about time those are in high def too.
Yeah.
And when he said it, I was like, oh, yeah, duh, good point.
We're going to we're actually going to work up, maybe do a satellite link where I can interview him for Inside Xbox, a quick little 1 or 2 minute interview.
Oh, cool.
Some high-tech satellite stuff going on.
Ooh, ah.
So that's so we'll have that up. And then Jeff was on. Did you see his appearance on Fox TV?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. So
that, everybody has been talking about that.
Yeah. So Jeff did a nice job representing.
It's too bad they didn't let him talk.
Yeah. Well, that happens. You know, I've been on some shows. I've been on Attack of the Show sometimes, and they just, you know, the hot seat is just like blah, blah, blah. It's just there's so many people yakking at you, especially on Fox, where it's just it's crazy.
Well,
I have not been on Fox,
And it seemed like it was a little bit predetermined how the show was going to go.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing, and, you know, apologies and corrections never get the same volume as the original story.
As the headline.
But the psychiatrist, I don't remember exactly what she is, Cooper, what's her name, that Jeff was on there with.
Right.
Has finally come out and said, oh, I actually looked at the facts myself instead of taking my friend's word for it.
Miss Cooper Lawrence.
Thank you. And
She's a developmental psychologist.
Okay, sure. But she actually came out and said, oh, all those things I said were in the game, they're not. I I took my friend's word for it, and they were wrong.
Yeah. Well, now that she never played the game.
Now that you haven't been, you know, now a week after you were on the air ranting about how horrible it was. Yeah, that's great. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, when I called Jeff after I saw that, I called him on his mobile. I got through to him before he changed his number. And
I wonder if that's why he changed his number.
Could be. That could be. But I'm like, dude, nice work. Because my conversation is like, you know, if you haven't played the game, oh, you haven't? Well, then why are we having this discussion?
Totally.
Right. So it's
and I want to give EA props for standing up on this subject.
Yeah.
They actually, you know, they sent out a press release and they're like, "Hey, this is ridiculous. It's not true. It's based in no facts whatsoever. She hasn't played the game. We want an apology."
Yeah.
Good for them for not taking it lying down.
So there you go. What else news do we have this week, E? So we're rushing the show along here because I'm desperately worried the show is not going to record.
Well, that and we're hungry.
Yeah, we're hungry.
And we're going to lunch after we finish this show.
It seems like all we do is we're going to have to turn this into a food show because we're always talking about food.
Well, I'm a little bit of a food person.
You know what I was thinking?
What?
In April, I think we're going to do a get-together, you know, one of these meet and eats because right. The Xbox MVPs, the Microsoft Valued Professional Program,
oh, that's right.
They're going to be out here. So I'm thinking we should just all do it when they're out here.
That's a good idea. I actually didn't know about that until like yesterday. And Dirty Diva hit me up to ask if I could help out with that. And I was like, when is... Oh, wow, that's coming up again.
Already. Yeah, so we're gonna maybe we can do that with them. What else do we have up here on your sheet?
So we've talked about King of Kong before.
Absolutely.
So King of Kong is a documentary following... It's kind of hard to describe. Essentially following the process of getting high scores in arcade games
mm-hmm.
and getting them recognized and, you know, official. And it kind of covers a couple of, you know, the top Donkey Kong players in the world and their lives for a while and the back and forth involved in the competition.
Yep.
And I'm blanking. Billy, what's his last name?
Billy Mitchell.
Billy Mitchell.
And Steve Wiebe.
Thank you. Follows the two of them very deeply regarding the world record for King Kong. If you're at all interested in video games, especially arcade games, you got to watch it.
And you and I talked about this months ago, but... You know, I went into this probably like you did when we watched the movie and was like, how are they going to make a movie out of this? And you know what? It's good.
Oh, it's really good.
You're like, wow, that's good. I mean, I had Billy Mitchell on the show 6 or 8 months ago, which was, I think it was before the film was released, so I didn't have a chance to talk to him about that.
It was before we'd seen it. I know that.
Yeah, it was way before we'd seen it. And he and I couldn't talk about that, but it was just, you know, Billy Mitchell comes across very, he's a villain in this one.
Yes.
I think that would be the good
totally.
Way.
Totally. And like I said, if you're interested in, you know, video games, arcade games, you should check it out. And it comes out January 29th, finally, on DVD.
Yeah, so look for that. Go up to Amazon. Looks like it's highly rated on Amazon as well. So there we go. So that's coming out. All right, what else you got, E?
The other bit of gaming news. So regular listeners will know I'm kind of a classic video game nut.
Yes, you are.
I had all the consoles growing up. A lot of them I don't have anymore and wish I still did. And there's a variety of reasons that if you ever see me, buy me a beer, I'll tell you some of them why I don't have them anymore. But an announcement came out this week that the Wii Virtual Console is going to add Sega Master System games.
Oh?
And
there's
a few Sega Master System games that I loved as a kid.
Like what?
Rastan.
Mm-hmm.
There was an R-Type for Sega Master System and... I have every version of R-Type basically ever made. I love that video game. Actually, R-Type, I won't go there. Because there's like maybe one other listener who would actually care about the road I was actually going to go down. But anyways, there's some cool games on that. It's just nice to see that there's going to be another way to go get them.
Right.
You know? There's some games that you played so much as a kid that just going back to them is so much fun.
Right.
I mean... Yeah, there's times when I wish I hadn't gotten rid of my TRS-80 Model 1 because it actually did still work when I finally got rid of it.
So those are available?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, did you just pretty much bounce your head right off your microphone?
I did. Okay. I did. I'm completely focused on making sure this show's going to work because I just don't think it is. All right, we're going to wrap it up. I want to talk about the Windows Home Server because I put one in over the past week.
Okay.
And it took you, what did it take you, 9 or 10 weeks to put one in?
Well, there was 8 to 9 weeks of procrastination, and
right.
then there was the week of finally getting around to assembling the hardware and loading the software.
Yeah, mine. I got one and put it in, and it works great. I was actually connected to it from work here when we were.
Oh, now see, that's one of the nice features is you can be wherever you are in the world, and it's like, oh, I wish I could show, you know, show someone this picture or this video or listen to this music track or whatever. You can log into your home server remotely,
right,
and access all your data, which
right,
is pretty cool.
So I'm playing around with that and having some fun with that. I was putting this on my Twitter. I'm trying to figure out how to get the Mac at home to use Time Machine to point at Windows Home Server.
I don't think you can do that.
Yeah, I know.
I seem to remember that the file system format requirements don't match up for
right,
those applications.
Right.
I think you're screwed.
Yeah. Well, it's all right. Maybe I'll just get a time capsule.
I'm going to be really curious to see how those do.
Huh.
It's a very single purpose device.
Right.
And I don't know if, you know, there's going to be enough non-hardcore fans who are interested in something like that.
It could be, but you know, Time Machine is cool when it, you know, when you. I don't have it working on either of my machine jacks. I don't have an external.
But other than that, it's great. Right?
Yeah, other than that, it's most excellent.
I admit the idea is excellent. I don't know. I haven't used the implementation, so I don't know how well it works.
All right, we're gonna wrap it up, because I said we can and we have to.
And
so
because your ancient Macintosh is thinking about giving up the ghost.
Yeah, exactly. It's gonna actually die in the middle of recording.
Have
this
you ever told people what the Mac in your office is?
Why don't you go ahead and do that?
So
it's go ahead.
Real Xbox fans may know that in the early days of Xbox 360, because we didn't have, you know, functioning, you know, chipsets that were what a 360 was really going to look like.
Right.
A lot of the early development, what was called the Alpha XDKs, those were actually Mac G5s, run because that was a similar PowerPC chip to what's actually in the Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
So these are, you know, G5s that are now, what, 3-4 years old?
At least 4.
And that's what the Mac in your office is it's an old Alpha 360 development kit that you've loaded, what, Leopard on?
Yeah.
I'm amazed.
I bought a copy of Leopard and loaded it on, and it's working, and it's, although as we've noticed that, you know, GarageBand is not really... It likes more memory, and I've only got 512 megs in here.
And it keeps popping up little menus like, your disk is too slow.
Yeah, I know. I'll get a new one. So I'll bring it home, and I'll throw it on my machine at home. Hopefully this show. But next week, we'll be back to a regular show after this test. Appreciate you bearing with us during this test. Hopefully you're going to hear the show. Don't know. But we'll come back with Name the Game. We'll come back with Xbox 101. All the regular features you know and love will be back next week. So I appreciate you bearing with us. I want to thank my friends at Centricom.net, providing MajorNelson.com with a secured and assured hosting environment. Also, I want to thank CashFly for their services responsible for downloading the show. Edie, you have anything else to say before I sign off?
I really don't.
Okay. Then this is Larry here of Xbox Live's Major Nelson saying, have fun, play fair, and send feedback. Let's try that again.
Send feedback or file a complaint.
Or file a complaint. Have fun, play fair, and send feedback or file a complaint. And I'll talk to you soon. Righty?
Okay. Assuming you get all this technical stuff figured out.
Assuming this is laid down to disk. So Major Nelson Radio is a Mark Goodson, Bill Todman production. You know, there's a lot of people that have no idea what that reference was that I made at the end of that show.
No, but that was brilliant. So, I love that.
So if you don't know who Mark Goodson, Bill Todman are, they are. Well, go look them up on Wikipedia, but they are...
You should tell the listeners why you pulled that out all of a sudden.
Because, so Mark Goodson and Bill Todman, they are game show geniuses, and I am a huge fan of game shows.
And they were every game show I ever saw growing up ended with that clip.
And
they were behind all of them.
Yeah, so I was watching, there's a new series on PBS, the public broadcasting system here in the United States. It's a series called The Pioneers of Television, and they had TiVo had recorded it for me, and it had recorded the last one, which is about game shows, and I was complete enjoying this. You know, it was embarrassing how much I was enjoying that show. I could not enjoy that show anymore. So I saw that and I was like, what a great ending to the show. So that's, I didn't even tell you I was going to throw that in there.
No, you didn't, which is why I reacted the way I did. And I got to admit, most of the game shows of old are, the ones today are mostly so bad I can't watch them. I don't know if it's they pander too much or they're just, the one with the lie detector ripoff.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what the name of it is, but that is so bad.
No, it's, you know, you watch Hollywood Squares, you watch The Password Is.
Yes.
Exactly. Or The Price Is Right, which is actually one of my favorite shows.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if a lot of... I don't think I've ever told this. I think I may have mentioned this to some people internally. I've never said this on a show, certainly. But when I was at Syracuse University, when I was in school, I actually scheduled my college classes around The Price Is Right.
Oh, wow.
This is true story. I would come home. I would come back to the dorm at 11 o'clock in the morning, sit there and watch it for an hour, and then go to lunch.
See, the closest equivalent I have for that... I think I've talked on the show before about Star Blazers.
Right.
It was the first piece of anime to ever air on TV in the United States.
Right.
And this was back in, I think, 1977. And I'm now regretting the fact that I've started telling this story because my son's sitting right next to me.
Right.
Playing Mass Effect.
Right.
But I got to finish now. So it was on from 8 to 8:30. And the school bus picked me up at 8:20, meaning I would...
How'd you do that, E?
Yeah, I'd miss the last 15 minutes of every episode.
Or did you?
Yeah, I got the brilliant idea of, well, I just won't go to school.
Right.
Because I want to see how the show goes.
Right.
Which I got away with for, you know, 3 or 4 days.
Right.
And then my parents got the phone call from the school.
They wised up.
Wondering, yeah. So why hasn't Eric, you know, has Eric been really sick? We're kind of worried about him. We haven't seen him. And they asked me why I hadn't been to school. And I was in a lot of trouble for a very, very long
time. That's funny.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this is before the days of VCRs and, well, I'm sure they were around, but, you know, not everybody had them.
I think it was like, that was right about the year, you know, betas were getting introduced.
Right.
And we certainly didn't have one
right
back then. The first time I think I ever saw a VCR was like 1980, something like that.
Do we need to talk about speaking of that, we need to talk about HD, DVD, and Blu-ray, but we can do that on another show.
That's true.
We haven't really talked about that.
Oh, that's right.
So we're going to save that for another show, though, because...
I mean, there's certain things that I'm going to have in high def.
Right.
Like, the biggest effect, personally, with this whole shift to me... I mean, I've already got a PS3, so I can watch Blu-ray. But Lord of the Rings in high def is going to be on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
I can't not buy that.
And I just...
have to own that.
And you know I love Casino Royale. I love that show. I
liked it. I didn't love it.
Oh, really?
Did you see the title for Bond 22?
No.
It Query of Solace or something like that. And I was like, what?
What book is it based on?
I don't remember.
Or is it a wonderful... I'll have to go take a look at that.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, By the way, I'm going to GDC. I'll have some cool GDC news to talk about in the coming weeks.
I was thinking about going to GDC. I'm not going to GDC.
Okay.
So,
well, I'm going to line up some cool interviews with that and whatever we have. We'll definitely have some cool stuff to talk about that. Oh, hey, you know what?
What?
Last week I had the Gamerscore guys on my show. They haven't sent me an invite to be on their show.
Ooh.
So I know you guys are listening. Where's my invite?
Yeah. Come on, guys.
Yeah. They're like, well, you can come over anytime you want. I don't want to barge in on you guys.
Yeah.
But
see,
it's good having them on the show.
I don't expect an invite, but you should get an invite.
No, you should totally get an invite.
No, I'm good.
All right. We're gonna wrap it up here. This was the after show portion of the show, Graham.
The show, Graham?
And I hopefully you guys, can listen to this show.
Yeah, that would be really, really good.
And B, have enjoyed the enhancedness of the podcastness.
So, actually, wait. I need to put out a call for information to our Seattle listeners.
Okay.
So as we've continued our our exploration of the burger scene in Seattle.
Yes.
So we discovered Red Mill and talked about that last week.
Right.
I've now got people, especially people at Bungie, telling me that Burger Hut is better than Red Mill.
Where is that?
I don't know, but I need, you know, we're going to have to try it out at some point. But I want to know, is this just, you know, people at Bungie being dumb? Or is this actually, are there people outside of Bungie who think Burger Hut's better than Red Mill?
Speaking of Bungie, last week you did a throwdown to Frankie.
And I kind of threw you under the bus.
Yeah, you like, I, all of a sudden I'm like, what? 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 But
and somehow Frankie found out.
So Frankie did, just to his credit, he did email us before your Wednesday self-imposed deadline.
Oh, good for
and,
him.
But they had the pentathlon going on.
Yes.
So he has promised to come on a future Actually, come to think of it, he hasn't promised.
Ooh.
He said he would.
Okay.
He's open to the discussion. So hopefully...
Oh, so he's willing to talk about possibly coming on in the future at some undetermined point.
Right.
Okay.
So, all right, we're going to wrap it up here. Again, thank you for bearing with us through this technically different show and this formatically different show. And we'll be back next week with all your favorite features, interviews, and even more. So we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.